I want to spend some real time with all of us today on something that I believe is a message for the hour today, this very moment that we're here together. If ever I've asked you to pray for this service, to pray for me as I speak, or to pay close attention, this is the moment I'm asking that, all three of those. I believe the Lord has placed something on my heart today that's going to help all of us become stronger in our commitment to serving God in a world that wants to devastate the gospel of Jesus Christ, wants to have all of us not believe God for what he has promised us, to have us simply step back and not consider the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and stand at bay at things that come at us and not forcefully, by the Word of God, through prayer, through fasting, through Bible study, through fellowship, stand up against the evils of this world and have our promises seem as though they are lies and not true. I want you to be keenly aware today that what God has promised you will come to pass, will be in your life for sure, because he's promised it to you. So I really want to share with you today a message entitled, He Has Promised. I've subtitled it, Yes. He has promised, and that's a yes. You know, on the Twitters and Facebook and tweets, when you capitalize something, it's meaning you're screaming. And that's why I capitalized all of that on the screen. Yes, he has promised us. And I want to use for a scripture today the text 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. For the promises, or for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Let me read that to you again, and please read along with me. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. That's amazing when we look at that and how powerful that is for our life. When the Lord speaks a promise, he is able to complete it. The Bible declares that in Ephesians 3 and 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or imagine according to the power that works in us. That power that works in us is the power of God. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. And Titus 1 and 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. God cannot lie. Every one of us, we can lie. Sometimes we do that when we don't want to do it. Let me give you an example, kind of a humoristic example, is when you're going down the road and you're going 75 or 85 miles an hour, or you're going down the road and you're on your phone, or you're going down the road and you're texting and the police pull you over and you roll your window down and you said, "Officer, have I done something wrong?" Or, "I didn't realize that I was going that fast. I wasn't texting. Look, my phone is off." You see, we respond sometimes to challenges in life with a way of backing away from that challenge, even if we have to tell a lie. Now, I'm not saying that's good, that's bad, that's not right. Not speaking the truth is not good. Speaking the truth is good. God cannot lie. He's always there. He always will be there for us. And he loves us with all his heart. What I'm going to talk to you about today, and I really want to be able to speak this into your life, so please open your hearts right now. I'm going to talk to you about fear versus faith. Fear versus faith. What you really believe in your heart is what I'm going to talk about today. What you and I, what we really believe in our heart. Sometimes we say things, but what we're saying is coming from here, not from here. And when the rubber meets the road, sometimes we're putting it in reverse because we're afraid. We forget who we are. We forget our identity in Jesus Christ. We forget what we really can be in Jesus Christ and who we already are in Jesus Christ. Fear conquers faith when you embrace it in thought, words, and actions. Fear conquers faith when you begin to think, I can't get over this mountain. I can't face this. When we begin to speak words that declare, I really don't trust the word of God. I know it, but I'm not going to speak it right now because I'm just too afraid. Or your actions without words. Actions without words can declare that you're afraid at what's coming at you. Or the circumstances that may be declaring loudly to your life that you're never going to make it. The promises aren't true. Everything around me seems to be saying, showing me signs, speaking to me that God's promise to me, maybe I was just hearing something at that particular time. But I want you to understand that the enemy of your soul will magnify a lie to implicate that whatever lie it is has become a truth in your spirit. He'll go ahead and magnify it. He'll make it as though you are believing this lie, and you begin to believe the lie more than you believe the truth. The truth of God is a sure foundation for us. God's truth is alive in our hearts, even as I speak today. As you drove to church today, as we worshiped, as we fellowshipped before service, and as we will be after the service, when we have an altar call today, if the Holy Spirit wants that. God's truth is alive in us. I can feel the Lord in my heart. I can feel the Lord in my life. And his truth is all we need to get through every day. But greater is he in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Live out that scripture. We're more powerful than this world. Individually, corporately, we are the body of Christ. We are the church. We have the power, the anointing, and the go-ahead by God in our life. We are the children of the living God. We are full of the Holy Ghost and power. When we lay hands on the sick, they shall be healed. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our God forevermore. We have overcome the world. Now, Pastor, what do you mean that we've overcome the world? We have overcome the world. When we gave our hearts to the Lord, we told the world, you'll no longer have power over me. The world is the world system we're talking about there. You're not going to have the power of sin in my life. Temptation is not going to take me. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to study God's word. I'm going to read the Bible as I would any other novel. I'm going to look at it as God's truth in my life. I'm going to study out what it really means for me individually and corporately to the body of Christ. The world system no longer dictates to me on what I believe. The enemy has no power in my life. Say that with me, will you? The enemy has no power in my life. It's amazing to me. In 1 John 5 and 4, for whoever is born of God overcomes the world. Are you born of God? Raise your hand if you've been born of God. You have overcome the world. And the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. Fear versus faith. It doesn't say we've overcome the world by our fear. Our fear makes us back up, makes us go in reverse, paralyzes us, keeps us from functioning in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 1 and 9, God is faithful, and by Him you were called to the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You have been called to the fellowship of Jesus Christ. We're in fellowship with Him 24/7. He is with us. Do you think when you go to sleep at night that the Holy Ghost leaves? No, He's still in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are no longer your own. You have been bought with a price. Praise God. You are God's possession. You are the vessel of God that travels on this earth. You are God's treasure. You have something to share to this world every day. You have faith that's an overcoming faith that overcomes the world, overcomes the lies of the enemy. The Bible declares this in Hebrews 11 and 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let us draw near to the throne room of grace, whereby we may obtain mercy and grace to help in our time of need. We have an entrance into the very throne room of grace by the anointing and by the power and by the name of Jesus Christ. When we pray in Jesus' name, God hears us. When we pray in Jesus' name and ask for things that seem incredible, God listens. And when you pray, He puts in action immediately the answer. Praise God. We have power in our life. Somebody look at one another and say, I've got power in my life. I'm not afraid. I have the power of the Holy Ghost in my life, and I'm going to walk through this world till I step into glory in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and fear will not control my life. Amen. Boy, I feel like preaching this morning. Hebrews 10 and 23, let us firmly hold the profession of our faith without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. He's faithful. You know, people can be fickle, not faithful. People can be untruthful, not truthful. They can be unsure. God is a surety. God is faithful when He speaks something into your life. You see, the contributing factor of to the lack of faith and embracing of fear is the lack of trust in God Himself. That's the key of this whole message, that one sentence right there. The lack of trust in God Himself. You know, we have on our money and God we trust. I don't trust the dollar. I look at that and I know that I trust God. I trust His Word. I trust His promises. I trust for healing. I trust for abundant life. For He came to give us an abundant life. He came to give us life that is full of joy, peace, a life that is honorable, reputable, a life that's full of power, that says to sickness, go in Jesus' name, that says to demons, go in Jesus' name, that says these words that takes power to say often, I forgive you. Power to bless your enemies. Power to pray the power to praise, the power to acknowledge God. We need to trust God in everything. Think, church, think. As I am thinking with you, the days that go by where you really don't trust God because an incident happened. Statements, why did God let this happen to me? Because you can trust Him. He knows what He's doing. Folks, we don't know what we're doing. We are going through every day hoping that we do what is right in the sight of God and that we bless others and we don't offend one another. And somewhere in that percentage we fall. But when we let fear overtake our life, we embrace the lies of the enemy and we say to God, we don't trust you. When we sit around in conversation with our good friend or friends or family and we talk about how this isn't going to happen for me. This isn't going to ever come to pass. I'm just a failure. I'm a loser with a capital L. And if it keeps going this way, I'm going to be a loser with all capitals. I'm a screaming loser. Let me tell you something. You are a winner. You are in Christ Jesus. You are adored by the angels of God. You are the university for the angels. They've never been human. They do not know how we feel. They learn the love of God through us. You're winners. From the moment you said yes to Jesus to this very moment right now and continuing on, you are a winner. Not a complainer, not a criticizer, not someone who says, I just don't know. I know that the power of God indwelleth within us. I know the Holy Ghost of the living God gives us an anointing. I know that there are gifts in this church that are powerful, that are alive, that are steaming with the love of God and the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You are winners. Be courageous. Be confident because there's a God who knows who you are. He knew you before you existed, and He knows where you're headed. He knows what your tomorrow looks like, and He knows what you're thinking and who you are right now. Oh, and I know humanity. I know humanity because I am human. I know humanity because I know people. I've been called to serve people. And I know that people sit and hear me preach sometimes, and in their mind they're going, yeah. Well, let me say this to you. God never says to you, yeah. He says, listen to my word and know that my word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive and it's powerful. It separates the joints and the marrow and the spirit and the soul. And it knows the very thoughts and the intents of your heart. Hebrews chapter 4. Let me tell you something, that God knows who you are. He never says, yeah. Jesus never said that to His disciples. He kept on showing them that He is the Son of God. And every once in a while, they just didn't go along with that. So what happened? God began to give them a little time on the Mount of Transfiguration. Showed up with Elijah, Moses, and God Himself, the Father, and Jesus. And God says, this is my beloved Son. In Him, I am well pleased. Listen to Him. I almost took off running right there. Listen to Him. Listen to what Jesus says to you in a promise. Some of you have been called by God to be pastors. Some of you have been called to be teachers. Some of you have been called to be prophets. Some of you have been called to be those that will speak into the lives of others. Some of you have been called to pray. Some of you have been called to the laying on of hands to the sick. Some of you have gifts that are in you yet to be exploded, but they're already there. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Don't listen to somebody say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me tell you who said, yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me tell you a story found in the Bible. A Sunday school story taught in the 5th to 6th grade class. A story of a young boy by the name of David, who was sent by his daddy, Jesse, to take some food to his brothers who were away from the house, and he was concerned about how they were doing. And when he gets there, he finds them all afraid. They were so afraid they were paralyzed. They were hiding behind rocks because a giant by the name of Goliath was mocking them, calling them names, calling them out to battle. They were afraid, paralyzed, unbelieving that the God of Israel could save them. They didn't trust God. They had a history of knowing what God can do. He separated the sea. He separated the River Jordan. He took down Jericho. He did so much for them. The walls fell. He conquered kings upon kingdoms upon kings upon kingdoms. He delivered them out of the taskmaster's whip. Read the book of Psalms and see the testimony after testimony of what God can do. They knew that. And David, yet a young lad, a boy. The innocence, let's key on the innocence of a boy. Obeying his dad, taking a lunch, shows up and he sees what's going on. And he finds out that no one's willing to face this giant. And then he went ahead and he told his brothers and he told everybody, I will do this. And they went, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, don't embarrass us. Don't embarrass us. You see, sometimes when you stand up in the power and the anointing of God, people don't want you to embarrass them. They'd rather have you kind of sit in their fear. Get into their little house in darkness of fear behind the rock of fear. They'd rather have you hide with them because you comfort them because they know you trust God, but they want you to comfort them more than please God. Are you with me? He walks into that tent, says to Saul, I'll go out there. He's a lad. He's a boy. There are men, warriors, trained soldiers hiding behind the rock. Am I describing a church today across America? Yes. Let me tell you something. Saul said, okay, you go ahead if you want to do that. Who are you? And he explained who he was. I'm David, the son of Jesse, and my brothers are here. He said, try my armor. David puts it on, puts it, looks at Saul and said, nope, this one doesn't fit because it's the armor of the world. You can't defeat anything when you wear the armor of the world. He said, I'll know what I've got. I have with me a sling. And I'll pick up some stones and I'll go out there by what I know works. And instead of being afraid of a 9-foot giant with a spear that weighed so many pounds and a shield that was way taller than him, and the mocking and being called a dog, he wasn't afraid. He knew who he was in God. He simply said, you're not mocking me. You're not mocking these soldiers. You're mocking the God of all of Israel. Would you recognize today? Can the church again wake up and recognize who we are and who we represent on this earth. We represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, not just some name. We are not, yeah, 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 because that's what the church has become across America. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We don't know what our identity is. We don't know what we believe in anymore. We don't know who we are. We don't know what church to go to. We bounce around looking for something that's going to bring us comfort instead of something that's going to bring us life. The church is life because God is in the church. We are married to Jesus Christ. We are the bride of Christ. He slew that giant. Slew him. I believe God took the faith of a lad, the courage of a boy. And when he slung that rock from his sling, which he was good at, he was trained to do it, he practiced to do it, but I believe God gave it a little push to where it was going to go, straight in between the eyes of the devil. You see, God will use you to push back the enemy of your soul, to slay him before him. Don't let him control your family. How do you stop that, preacher? You get on your knees and begin to call out your family's name. You begin to pray. You begin to thank God. The other night, my son Mikey was going through some hard times and he visited our home. My son Jonas came over to minister to him. I sat there. And I couldn't say a word, but in my heart I was saying, thank you, my God, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. My boy would glance at me, Jonas, every once in a while, looking for my approval, and I would just stare at him. He began to minister to Mikey, and the things that he said, as though he had walked with Jesus from the day he took his first breath till that moment. The wisdom that he showed Mikey was simply God. The anointing was in that room. I sat there with a thought in my mind saying, thank you, Father, for what you have just showed me of what is in my boy and how he is ministering to his brother. Let me tell you something right now. Don't ever give up. Pray. Fast. Call out their names to glory. And when the day that you missed, know that your pastor calls out your children's names and calls for God's anointing on their lives daily. Praise God. Well, they don't even come here anymore, Pastor. They don't have to go to my church or the church that God has given me the honor to serve, but Kathy and I, to be your servant leaders. They don't have to be in the presence of this house for us to pray. We pray. Amen. I've dedicated some of those children. It's my right to pray. It's our right to pray. David walked away from that giant with his head, his hand, and his sword, and went and brought it back. And all of Israel then became unfearful. They became full of faith again. You see, sometimes I wonder if it's just going to take one person in a church somewhere to stand up and be a David and let the other part of the church all of a sudden wake up and say, yes, God, yes. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking at what you see instead of what you have been promised is the problem. Fear is the enemy of faith. Fear paralyzes and dictates doubt and nullifies the truth. It is not what you see, but what you know is true. God's word is truth. God's word is the truth. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. Jesus, when his weakest moment, the Son of God, the only begotten Son, he had yet to be crucified. Very much man came out of a fast and the devil attacked him. But he knew what the truth was. You see, when the enemy attacks you, you need to stand up and say, I know the truth. I know who has spoken into my life. I know who my God is. And I know that his promises are sure and steadfast. In him I live and move and have my being. I know when I worship him who's alive forevermore. Anoint your house with oil. Anoint your beds with oil. Anoint that which you sleep in and sit in with oil. Anoint your cars with oil. Take actions that say, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. I believe. Yes, Lord, yes. Hallelujah. I think it's important that we know this. Fear blinds one from knowing that the truth promised is sure and steadfast. It blinds us. Take the step in faith and see what the Lord will do. You know, you can drop your fear today. Oh, you say, Pastor, don't say I'm full of fear. I'm saying this to help you. There are things that come in life. We are human beings. I'm not nullifying what I've said. God knows that. But there are things that happen that a spear of fear gets through our shield of faith sometimes. I'm keenly aware of you to and warning you to take the step of faith and see what the Lord will do. Stand up. Fear, you have no power over me, for I am full of the faith, because when I gave my heart to the Lord, he gave me a measure of faith, and I have exercised it. He gave me a thimble. I worked it to a shovel. I worked it to a wheelbarrow full. I've worked it so long in faith, I have a dump truck load of faith right now. It has grown. It has exercised. I have used faith to conquer those walls that are in front of me, to conquer those mountains that are in front of me, to cross those rivers that are there, to spread those oceans apart and let me walk. I know that whatever God has said to me, no matter what gets in my way, I am more than a conqueror through him who loves us. Amen. I am an overcomer by the testimony of my lips, by the blood of the Lamb, and that I don't even love my life even as unto death, because I believe, God, that death is nothing but a blessing for me. Somebody's going, yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me tell you, you'll know it's a blessing when you wake up in heaven. You'll forget about this old world. You'll forget about this pastor. You'll be so engulfed with the glory of the King of Kings, the Savior. We say things like, when I get to heaven, I can't wait to see everybody and do this. Oh, let me tell you something. I've not been there, but I believe when we get there, looking at the face of God, it's going to be a long time before I look for anybody. I'm just going to look into his face and rejoice in the Lord forevermore. Are you with me? 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk. We're not stabilized. We're not frozen. We're not paralyzed by what we see. We walk. Walk is an action word. We walk by faith, not by sight. I don't live by what I see. I don't live by the negative of this world. I live by the positive of the Word. Amen. I mean, if you want to feel sick and bad, listen to the news. Really? If you want to feel really sick and like depressed, watch TV sitcoms and dramas. You want to feel really like, dirty and nasty? Watch the dramas that portray the illicit immoral activities of humanity on the TV screen. Don't you dare do any of that. You want to feel good? You want to feel good? You want to feel right? Read the word. Pray. Yeah. Let me tell you something. There's a world of Christian people. I know this because I try to tell them to stop when they call me and tell me the series that they're watching. Somebody told me the other day, I'm not going to name the name, nor will I name the series. But they said when I got to the last season, I could hardly watch it. It was so bad, I had to turn a couple episodes off. And I said, did you watch the other six seasons first? Oh, yeah. I've had people call me on the phone. Of course, I told that person, you shouldn't be watching that at all. I was gardening the other day, and I was keenly reminded of the saints of old. The prophets of old that have gone on to be with the Lord. It said we shouldn't even have TVs. Now, I've got TVs. I've got TVs. But I control what I watch. I get to sit at home alone sometimes late at night because I've got family that goes to bed early. I mean, we're talking early. I go to bed like late. We're talking late. Sometimes they're getting up and I'm going to bed. I can watch things on TV, but I choose to watch what is good. I tried to watch some sitcoms that just came on recently, some dramas. I'm sitting there watching this. One drama just came on TV. It caught my attention. The name of it was called Sinner. So I thought, okay, I'm a pastor. I want to watch a Sinner. Praise God. Maybe this is going to be somebody's going to get redeemed. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Just a few minutes into it, I turned my face away and found that remote and shut it off. Every sitcom and every drama coming across today is horrible. People are bragging about the Game of Thrones. They, oh, how they love the Game of Thrones. My son said to me one day, Dad, you got to watch the Game of Thrones. I didn't know any better. I downloaded seven of the episodes and I began to watch it. And the first episode I went, oh, my God, forgive me, Jesus. Click. He said, oh, you're just a wimp. No, I'm not. I walk with God. I'm a man of God, and I work and live in the power of the Holy Spirit. The devil's a wimp. He hides behind the screens of a television. He hides behind the immorality of this world, and he tempts people by sight. He tempts them by flesh, the pride thereof, and the pride of life, the lust of the eyes. He goes after them just like he did Adam and Eve and how he tried to get Jesus out of the desert experience. I said to my son, don't you ever recommend me a TV show like that again. As a matter of fact, get rid of it. But let me tell you something. I see that show all the time when I'm going through Facebook and I go through this or on this and people tweeting and said, the Game of Thrones. It's the greatest season of all. It's filthy, dirty, magical, and full of illicit activity that is pornographic right on the television screen. That's going to paralyze you one day. Have courage and say, I don't need that kind of stuff. Man, it got quiet all of a sudden. Everybody kind of in their chair going back and forth like this now. Ooh, not everybody. I said, God is watching us. I'm just a voice of the Lord today. The devil says you can't. God says you can. devil says you can't, but God says you can. You can't do this. You'll never be a pastor. You'll never have your own church. You'll never do it. God says, yes, you can. Yes, you will. Why? Because I said it, saith the Lord your God. I'll never be able to preach. Yes, you will. I'll never be able to do this because every time I try, men push me back. Oh, can I say something? I can never be like a man in church because I can't be an ordained bishop. You know what? That's a paper. You are ordained the moment you were called. I may preach in a minute. The devil says you'll never make it. God says you have already made it. You see, in God's eyes, he sees you complete. He saw you come out of mama's womb. He watched your steps in life. He knew I was going to be a pastor. He knew my wife was going to marry a pastor. I know my children are going to live for God. I know it because God spoke it. And if the devil says it there, it's not going to happen. God said it already has. Because he sees it done and complete. Don't let the fears of this world control your decisions on how you raise your family. Amen. Protect your children. Protect your children. Jesus looked over at Jerusalem. He said, I would have gathered you like a hen under my wings, but you have rejected the prophets. Study that and know where the church is missing today. As a church, we should be gathering in those to protect them against the evils of this world. This is an old-fashioned preaching. This is what God wants America to hear again and again and again, that we should never give up trusting and believing God's word. The devil says no. God says yes. The devil says no, and people listen. You can say no all day long to me. God says yes all day long to me. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Fear not, 365 times in the Bible. A lot of wisdom in God that day when that all came together. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not. Because he knows the power of fear, what can happen to a life that is full of fear. Sleeplessness, worry, aging rapidly, lack of hunger, all sorts of things can happen in fear. My first church was a small church over in Modesto called the Salida Church of God. It was a tiny church, broken apart. Next door, there was a family that lived there. When I would walk down the street to go to different people's homes, the members' homes, to pray with them, I'd walk by this house that was just adjacent, next door. And the door would open just a crack. As I walked by and I'd see this small, partial faith looking out the door at me. And when I went by, it would close up again. She was afraid. She was scared. She had so much fear that she was locked in darkness. One of her children came to the church one day and gave her heart to the Lord. And then after that, her little brother came, gave his heart to the Lord. Jonas brought him to church. Jonas brought the whole Arroyo football team to church one day, and I called an altar call at the Vine, and Jonas said out loud, "Every one of you guys, get up there now." I just want to say this. She was afraid. I'm going to bring it to a close in a moment. I want you to hear this whole message in your heart and listen to it and apply it and live it. She was afraid of humanity. Her husband forced her to do things in that home that I could never say from a pulpit in front of her children. It's a little shack full of poverty. When I finally met her, she had not showered for days. I began to minister to her life. Kathy began to minister to her life. She came to the church and got saved. I went to the court when they tried her husband, who was sent to prison for the things that were done. If I could say she had a right to be afraid, I could probably say that. Looking through the crack of a door, one day I walked by and she saw me and she opened up the door a little bit. And then she stood out on the front porch. And then she said, "Are you the pastor?" She knew who I was. I said, "Yes, I am." My children seem different. I said, "Yes, they do, don't they? Why don't you come?" She came to church one day. It's already started. She walked in the door and walked through the back and looked around and sat down. She gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ that day. She became a prayer partner with Kathy and I in the morning at 5 o'clock in the morning. Till 8, she would pray with us every day. She began to work in the church by cleaning the church. She showered and was clean every day. She smiled. When the Lord told us that our work was done there and we were moving over to San Lorenzo Church of God, which now is called The Vine, I said, "I'll see you later." She goes, "I'll meet you in prayer at the throne of God." You see, fear can be defeated. And what comes forth from someone that has put fear aside is a person of faith, of prayer, of power. I didn't see her for a long time. Didn't hear from her. I was at Berean Christian Bookstore as the manager there as we were doing the mission in Santa Cruz. Potter's hand. There she was standing in front of me. I said, "How you doing?" She goes, "Good." I said, "What are you doing?" She goes, "Oh, I've been going to Pastor Craig's church over at Community Church of God for a long time now." I said, "You're kidding me." She goes, "Oh, yeah, and I love it." She'd been in church, never missed a Sunday. She's never missed. She's always been in church since that day she walked in and gave her heart to the Lord. Don't let somebody live in fear. Love them out of it. Bring them out of it. Show them that there's a God that's more powerful than the fear or the pain that's caused them to hide. Let them know that there is a God who is God forevermore. Just whose report will you believe? Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Jesus said that himself. Let me say this, quoting Isaiah. Let me say what I'm saying here in truth. Whose report do you believe every day? Do you believe the devil's lies or do you believe the truth in God? And let me tell you, the devil does never give up. But you should say, "I never give in. I trust in God." But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him.
that just keeps filtering back into the Church of America. So many things. I believe in him. I knew who I was, and I know who I am, and I know where I'm going. I have yet to become what God has called me to become, but I'm on the road to that place because he said, I've already made it. He said, yes. He said, you can. You see, we have to understand that even there, right there, the signs, the miracles, the wonders, they didn't believe him. But greater faith will those will have than those who have not seen me but yet believe. That's us. Not greater fear, not greater doubt, greater faith. Fear is truly part of our human makeup. It has a positive side. You got a mountain lion coming at you? You could pull the David if you want and grab him by the jaws and open up, but most people would just be afraid. You hear something about maybe one of your sons, like I have, been arrested. You get a little worried, a little afraid. A sickness hits. Get afraid. That's normal. But what's abnormal is when you allow that fear to control you. You need to put your faith over that fear. The fear is in us. We fear God. It's in us. But do not let fear control your life. Let faith lead your life. Sometimes I think about those guys I did the other day, and this is kind of a silly metaphor or analogy, however you want to look at it. It's certainly not a paradox, but it's simply, wow, is these guys that go up to the top of these high towers, maybe 40 or 50 stories high, and they take a rope to the next one, and they walk without a net across the tightrope. And like, I go, hello. But then I realize that's the faith I want. That when the enemy tries to make us afraid and we feel like we're on a tightrope, let's just keep walking on that tightrope because we know that on either side of us, there is angels holding us up. Amen. We are there, and no matter how it feels, he has us covered. I got you covered. Don't worry about it. You'll make it to the other side. That's amazing to me. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. He is confessing you and I. Hebrews 7 and 25. He is confessing us before God. He is forever interceding for us. He's speaking our name before the Father in heaven. I don't know how he does all that, but I trust that he does because the word says it. I believe that he's doing it. I believe he's got our steps ordered. The Bible says the steps of a righteous person are ordered by the Lord. I'm afraid that my kids will never be saved. Well, go ahead and let your fear go ahead and control what God does. How about this? My kids will be saved. My kids will be delivered. My children will be brought back into the corral of the kingdom of God. My children will be in glory. No matter what it looks like, that's what it looks like. But what God says, it will happen. Praise God. Amen, amen, and amen. Yes, I believe in what he promised, not in what I see. His promises are true and steadfast. His word is truth in my heart, and I will live by that truth. Take these three statements today. Write them down, memorize them, confess them every day. Take a picture of it on your cell phone and your iPad or iPhone or your Galaxy 8 or whatever you use. Take a photograph of it and look at it every day. Put it on Facebook, put it on Twitter, put it on Instagram to let people know that you live by these three statements every day. Praise God. I believe him. I trust him. When the enemy attacks me, he's attacking God. And I'm ready to take my stone out and sling it right at him. Because he, God, has promised. Yes!